right, if it's Monday, it must be the North Shore Sports Night on MSO News Sports. Whoa, I got to make sure our levels are okay. That is way too high. Let me drop that down to where it supposed to was. Okay, there it is. Oh my gosh, that's, well, I'm Rick Moore along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Poposky. And Tim, because Tim's not here, that's why that thing messed up. So Tim, it's your fault again.
Probably is. Don't worry about it. I've been dealing with that for years, so just throw it my way. I'll just, you know, take it and wear it.
Okay. Tim's not here, and I'm blaming him. It's my fault. But at least we seem to have that adjusted now. There's no static at the moment, and so we're clear and good to go. And say hello to Coach Ben Goodhue, of course, in Gloucester. Coach Goodhue. What's that?
I'm saying good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
Right. It's good to say hi to Ben Goodhue.
You got it. Tonight, and I got to ask him about my man Doc, my classmate. We have... an interesting lineup tonight. Lots to talk about. We'll do our usuals. Let me talk about the usuals first. We're going to start with Coach Dale Dunbar, the Winthrop High School hockey coach, but he's also an NHL agent. And he's going to talk NHL playoffs for us and put things in perspective for me because I'm depressed as hell over the Bruins' performance. But Coach Dunbar will point things out and talk a little bit about other playoff activities as well. Gary Larrabee will mention some stuff, some pro stuff going on and get to the local stuff. And Tim and Gary will bring us up to speed on that stuff. Mike Grenier will talk Celtics basketball, a little more exciting and optimistic about that. Mike Grenier, of course, Salem News sports writer for low these many years and now a sports feature writer. Well, also, I've got an interview already with Coach Jim Rudloff, the Marblehead High School football coach. Talked with Coach Rudloff earlier, just posted it on right here. On this post where we have the North Shore Sports Night streaming. And you really, you got to listen to this interview with Coach Rudloff. Just some really, really good stuff about so many different things. And then we'll also talk with Hamilton Wenham High School football coach Jim Pugh on that same plane as Coach Rudloff. They just see things from above. Longtime tremendous coaches / educators. And just great information, Coach. I want to start with the Red Sox yard sale.
Yeah, I'll tell you. You know, they've gotten rid of their two best relievers, their most experienced relievers, and they just got rid of their best hitter that was on an MVP candidate run. Throughout the season, they're just—it's a fire sale, and they're loading up on young players. You know, they've given up. Obviously, they've given up on this season.
Oh God, yeah.
You know, of course. Again, I think I think most people have gave up on the season a long time ago.
Yep.
You know, what are they? 10-21, 11-21. I mean,
yeah, they're 33% is what they are, winning percentage.
You know, they're gonna be lucky to win 20 games, probably.
Yep.
The pitching is just horrific. Your best hitters are at or below the Mendoza line, which is, you know, something you seldom see of late in Boston. You know, Benintendi has four hits. Jamie Martinez, if he didn't have such an unfriendly to him already, but you can't because of the contract that he has, you've only got a couple of your established veterans playing like anything. And this is a team that... you know, won 108 games 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's just so hard to figure it where they went wrong. You know, it's sad, and they haven't done anything to correct the ship. Is this John Henry's way of simply dumping money, saving money to put it to Liverpool because he's got a champion over in Europe. That he's let the Red Sox go. He's not paying enough attention here. Can't figure it out. I mean, you know, you let your number one player. They've traded, you know, Mookie, Price, who was having a good year and had a big year in 18. And they just basically gutted the team, exception of Vasquez, who's played really well. He's just way too bad as a catcher. Then it's been Benintendi, Bradley, and the trust update is escaping me at the moment.
I want to talk a little bit very quickly here, Tim, before we have to change. And I agree with you. I think I don't know what the direction is. But obviously they completely gave up on this season. But I want to talk about JBJ. I saw the night that the Red Sox decided to boycott in support of JBJ. They had a feature on him on Nesson, and I remember watching him years ago in an interview. As a rookie, how impressed I was with his intelligence, his understanding of so many different things. What's your opinion of JBJ in this climate, in this social climate, Tim? He's obviously a great Red Sox player, not a great hitter, but a great Red Sox player. But just in terms of his humanity, how do you look at JBJ?
No, certainly. I mean, you know, in a clubhouse that is really, as we can see once again, I was reading an article, it's like 25 Met, 25 Cab. It seems to have come to that again. And he's one of the few black players on this team. He stood up. He stood forward. He spoke from the heart. He enlightened a number of his teammates, which really surprised me when I read that, that some of them were just so far out in left field on these issues. And he took a stand. And you have to commend him for that. You have to respect him for that. He's always kept a low profile. He's not a big mouth. He doesn't go around bragging. He doesn't go shooting his mouth off. He quietly goes about his job. You know, we'd like to see him be a more consistent hitter, but it's always at the end of the season where he sort of comes on. This year is just an abnormality, an anomaly, and so I don't know if we're going to see that or not. There's just not enough time for him, I think, to get any kind of real momentum. But he's always been who he is. He goes out there, he gives it 100%. He plays the best center field of any player in the league. He makes the catches that guys just shouldn't make. And,
yep.
and that's a reflection in his personality. He'll go out and he'll take the stand that very few people think that he would. You know, he's quiet personality, but he has the force of that personality. He doesn't need to be loud. He doesn't need, you know, to make a scene. He can just go out there and explain the position.
Yeah. I think he's a real inspiration, and just great watching him and listening to him to talk about things. And obviously he's a ballerina out there in center field. It's just amazing. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with the Winthrop High School hockey coach, who's also an NHL agent, Dale Dunbar. Talk a little bit about the Bruins here. And I guess this could be curtain call for the Bees. We'll be back.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever you plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Harrington Trophy has been rewarding the North Shore for over 30 years with quality custom awards, screen printing, embroidery, and more. We pride our family-owned business on our exceptional customer service and quality products for the right price. Custom t-shirts, sweatshirts, warm-up suits, hats, along with the area's top trophies, plaques, glass awards, we are the one-stop shop for end-of-the-year banquets or advertising your small business through apparel. Come see us at Harrington Trophy, Chestnut Street, Lynn, or harringtontrophy.com.
The North Shore is listening to msonewsports.com and our great selection of podcasts.
Hey, this is Matt Williams from the Salem News. Make sure that you listen to our weekly high school sports podcast where you can get all the news and happenings in the North Shore high school sports and beyond with myself, Phil Stacey, Bill Newell, and Nick Giannino.
MSO News Sports, connecting you to the North Shore.
All righty then, Coach Dale Dunbar is with us, and Coach, welcome back. Before we get started, I got a little bit of static I got to take care of here. Gone. Let me ask you about high school sports here, if I could, Coach. Talking to some football coaches today, and you know they're talking to each other. There's no obviously high school sports right now. You know, in the Northeastern Conference. Have you? Do you talk with other coaches, you know, in the off season, especially right now, either in hockey or other sports, about you know, what's going on?
Not too much. You know, it's all speculation. You know, I mean, you know, the ADs are the ones that are going to the meetings and whatnot. So my AD's been keeping me up to date on a lot of things, and you know, we're just going to play it by ear. I mean, there's a good possibility we could be the first, you know, sport to play, but you know, we'll have to see.
Yeah, it's such a mess, and everything is up
they
in the air.
That, I just got off the ice with my clinic, you know, so I got I'm mandated to 25 kids out here between Marblehead, Winthrop, and a few other schools. So, you know, the kids are eager to play, that's for sure.
Are you on the ice with these guys?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, excellent. Okay. How's that work? So explain that to me, Coach, because do you guys have to wear masks and stuff, or can the kids go out and actually skate? Oh, you do?
Yeah. Well, the kids do. We do. It's crazy.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
I know. I can imagine. Lady Gaga set the scene the other night, I'll tell you, with her fishbowl on her head. So did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Oh, it was incredible. All right, Dale, let's get to it. I've been kind of avoiding it because I'm so down. Talk to me about the Bruins, and is Tampa Bay this much better than the Bruins?
Well, you know, Tampa Bay's a very good team. I'm watching it right now as well. You know, I was talking to my I represent 24 Bogosian on the Lightning, and you know, he's like, you know, they're desperate. I mean, they're playing hard. It's just you know, it's a different team when you don't have that goaltender in there that you feel comfortable with. You can't take those chances or, you know, those penalties. And, you know, there's a sense of comfortability when you have your number one in there and the guy that's obviously has won cups and is good as Tuukka is. So it's tough on this kid, Hellock. I mean, especially when you see some goals that probably should have been stopped go in. It just takes the wind out of you. And Tampa just keeps coming and coming. So it's a tough matchup right now.
What about
we talked last week about, you know, the way the schedule was set up, the Brewers would have a day off in between each of the games, but it really hasn't seemed to had any kind of positive effect on them the last three outings.
No, it hasn't. I think, you know, and again, I think, you know, it's more of a mental battle now than it is the physical battle. They're doing everything they can to try to keep their heads above water, but you know, it just seems like they've been on the side of more of the bad bounces than before, and they're going in. That's the problem. You know, sometimes you're in the side of a bad bounce and you have your number one in there. It's a different game. But you know, right now they seem to be going in, and no fault of Halak. I mean, they're playing as tough as they can in front of them, but it's it's tough. So I don't know. I think it's going to be obviously a tough road to climb for the Bruins to even get back in this. I just think Tampa wants to put this away.
You. I don't think I've ever heard you criticize Coach in all the years we've been doing this, and I just wonder, when you watch a game, and it doesn't have to be this series or any other series, but when you watch a game in college, a college game or a pro game, and I want to phrase this correctly now, you see something that maybe you would do differently. And do you make a note of that and sort of file it away for if you see something in practice or on the, you know what I'm trying to say here? I'm not going to ask you to criticize anybody, but you see stuff.
You're talking from a coaching standpoint?
Yeah, from a coaching standpoint, because as a fan, you know, fans will always say, what's wrong with that Red Sox manager? Why didn't he pull this guy out? Why did he put that guy out? Yeah. You know, why is Brady doing this or doing that? But as a coach, do you do that and sort of file things away for different situations? Because I'm sure, of all the things you've seen, you haven't seen everything yet.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, when you're sitting at home or you're up on the ninth floor looking down, I mean, you have the luxury of maybe replays or, you know, seeing things a different way or, you know, I would have done it different after the fact. But when you're in a split-second decision or a gut feeling or feeling your staff out of what you should do, yeah, when it works out, it's great. But when it doesn't, you know, it's on you, especially if you're the head coach. And, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, they're tough decisions that need to be made. If you have the luxury of having time to make it, you know, maybe you take the emotion out of things. But a lot of times these split-second, you know, decisions are made, you know, for obviously the best, the better of everyone. But, you know, they're tough. I mean, they're tough to make. And I don't think you can file it away because There's no. It's a gut feeling half the time. Mm-hmm. Whether you're going to pull a goalie with 3 minutes to go or 2 minutes to go, or you know, do you plug this guy in for that guy, or do you mix the lines up now? Do you shake? These are things that it's gut. It's all gut, and it's chemistry, and you know, half the time you're just hoping it works out.
Yeah, and the gut. I know, Coach. The gut comes with experience, and so that has to play into it. What do you want from your assistants? What do you want your assistant, whether it's one or two guys, what do you want them to do during a game? Because you know, the coaching in high school, coaching still, you're still coaching during a game. It's still, I don't want to say it's practice, but you're still teaching. That's the right word I want.
I don't ever want a yes man. You know, I'm right. Yep. I'm agreeing with you. I like somebody that's going to stand their ground. If they don't believe in something, challenge me. You know, obviously in the right context, but you know, I don't want guys to just be a yes man or agree or anything like that. And you know, and they have to be the conduit for you. I mean, they have to know what you know, players are feeling. They see the locker room more than the head guy. You know, they have a feel sometimes before you have the feel of what's going on because they spend more time talking to the players or working with them after practice.
Yep.
At the pro level, I got to tell you, there's not much communication. You'd think there'd be a lot of communication. Half the guys that don't dress don't know why.
Really?
And they don't even bother asking.
Oh.
And they, you know, it's, like I had a player be told he wasn't dressing, and he was shocked. He's been in the lineup and great player. He was told by the video coach, not even the head coach. You know, with a lot of contact, a lot of personal conversation. It really doesn't. So you just have to be ready, and you have to be ready to adapt. I think adapting is one of the biggest things players and coaches have to do. You have to be able to adapt on the fly. obviously take the consensus of my coaches and run something by them. But at the end, I have to make that decision whether I go with it or I go by myself. I'm doing it, and you live with it.
Yeah. Wow.
Coach, two things. One, what was Bruce Cassidy's message, do you think, before they went out to take the ice tonight? And two, have they been overthinking things, knowing what happened against Tampa Bay 2 years ago, and in instead of making the plays, they're not making the plays?
Yeah, I mean, you know, history is history for a reason. And that's where you have to keep a lot of those things. Those theories were played years ago. And if you try to draw on too much of it, you know, it becomes part of something that you may not want, especially if it's not a good thing. And, you know, you want to stay in the direction of positives. I think the message tonight, you know, was, hey, listen, we're down 3-1. Don't think of the end result. All you have to do is come out and win your shifts, win a period, win the game, and to stay alive. You're not trying to win the whole series in one game here, so don't think like that. It's small games, small ice, small ball, small, everything small, everything conduced to fragments. And win your shift, battle hard, and live for another day. And that's all you can do. Don't go by regular season. That's the regular season. This is a different season. This is the real season. So keeping it small, keeping it fresh, don't get down. Everything needs to stay positive, and that's basically the message you got to go by. You don't have to win everything tonight because you can't. So just live to fight for another day.
Geez, Dale, that sounds like a message I should have in my life every day. I appreciate that. Just
yeah. You know. Well, it's it is.
I mean, yeah.
You know, you can't go for the end result when it's too far ahead.
Right.
So many things that factor into that final result.
Oh man.
So just keep it small.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. But win, lose, or draw, Coach. We're going to take next week off because of the holiday. But in 2 weeks, I want to get back on this thing, and we'll look at if the Bruins are still alive. We'll stay with them. If not, I want your expertise on the rest of the playoffs, if that's okay.
Absolutely. Enjoy being with you guys.
I love it. I love it, Coach. Thank you. Stay well. Talk to you later.
My pleasure. See you, Tim.
Awesome.
Thanks, Dale. See ya.
Dale Dunbar, who is an NHL agent. He's also the Winthrop High School hockey coach, and a little bit at a time. All right, let's see if we can get a hold of Jim Pugh. I'm not sure if that's going to happen, but we're going to give it our best shot. So stay tuned. This is MSONewsSports.com, and this is North Shore Sports Night.
MSO News Sports is a unique multimedia website providing exclusive news and sports content for the North Shore. Our goal is to keep you connected to your local neighbors throughout Essex County and beyond. We feature the best of the North Shore, and we couldn't provide this service without the powerful support of our local sponsors, like Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury, the Bradford Tavern in Rowley. Just like us, they care about the North Shore. Check out all of our podcasts and share our website with your friends. Email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. msonewsports@gmail.com. Again, we are your connection to the best of the North Shore. msonewsports.com.
Okay.
All right, very happy to bring in Jim Pugh, who is the high school football at Hamilton Wenham High School and so much more. And Jim, welcome back to MSO, and good to hear from you. I trust that all is well.
All is well, and it's good to be talking sports and with MSO.
It is.
I'm talking with you and Rick, with you and Tim.
It is good to be talking sports again, and it's very exciting. I was talking with Marblehead football coach Jim Rudloff earlier. I talked with Danvers High School football coach Ryan Nolan earlier.
Yep.
And it's obviously fall sports up in the air in the Northeastern Conference. Jim, what's the status in the Cape Ann League at this point?
Well, I think they're voting maybe Wednesday, but I'm not sure. I'm assuming that everything's a go except football and maybe volleyball. But, golf, cross country, soccer, field hockey, boys and girls soccer. So that's what we're anticipating, and hopefully we'll be able to have some, you know, just to keep them, you know, involved, and we'll go from there. And you know, as I was saying to Phil Stacy and Salem News, it's like, you know, we got to be thinking positive. So we're hoping that, you know, it's going to happen. And it was hard watching college football. I don't know if you talked about that already, but not college football, watching the high school football when all of those states have a higher COVID percentage than we do, or even New York and Jersey. But anyway, it's you know, it gets you ready for football. This is tough. Like, we're already September, going into September 1st, and nothing going on.
I know.
No doubles, no practices, no scrimmages, and nothing.
Tim, you want to pick up on that?
For myself personally, Jim, I just have so many concerns that the pandemic, and everybody seems to me to be forgetting that we're in a pandemic, and there's no vaccine, there's no cure, and that we continue to play with fire and people's health by putting them in group situations where we don't have control over where they are, you know, once they leave the field, the school, and they're coming back into these situations. And we've seen it on the collegiate level. Schools have gone back, and within several weeks, they're forced to go to remote learning because, you know, the kids have engaged in, you know, masks. And the high school kids aren't the same mindset. Masks, you know, they're going to meet their masks. We've seen it.
I talked with college coaches, and, you know, I mean, I remember back when I was 18 and to 22 years old, you know, and being on a college campus. So, yes, I mean, but that speaks to, I mean, why are we, you know, I know a lot of the teachers' unions and teachers, and my daughter's a teacher and I'm a teacher. It's like the whole idea of going back, even if it's, you know, the hybrid, there is a pandemic and all the things you just said, and you know, it's scary, but you know, I don't have any answers.
To me that becomes the main issue is that even those people, the expertise, don't have answers. You know, it's recommendations of what we should do, and it seems, you know, the deaths are still there, 1,000+ a day. You know, Massachusetts' numbers of people diagnosed are climbing again because, you know, people have relaxed. We got it really low, and one day we actually had zero new cases because people were following the rules. But then all of a sudden, everybody relaxed. Everybody started going back out again. People sitting, you know, in restaurants, whether it's indoors or mainly outdoors. But we're still putting ourselves out in that situation where the risk is greater than I think people realize.
Jim, are the schools in the Cape Ann League, they have the so-called green, are they all in the green?
As far as I know, they are. The only ones that, you know, I assume they are, but
yeah.
I was talking with Craig Genualdo, our athletic director, and I mean, if you go to red, you're quarantined,
right?
You got to stop. Tim, you makes good points, and you know, I mean, I think that's pretty much what a lot of the teachers believe, and the teachers' union is, you know, it's about the safety, and is it the right time? And I don't know. I mean, kids are kids, and they want to be involved, and they, you know, this is like a once in a lifetime opportunity for some of them to, you know, to be playing a sport. And you know, I don't have the answers. I just do what you know, what the Cape Ann League and the superintendents and school committee are going to tell us to do. And right now, football is you know, is waiting until the second fall season, which is, you know, in April, and even then, there's no guarantee.
Right.
You know, I mean, we're tackling and blocking. I mean, they ripped apart, you know, soccer with, you know, some of these rule changes that dramatically, and they asked. I know the MIAA was meeting with the Mass High School Football Coaches Association, and, you know, I mean, the idea of taking blocking and tackling out of the game is not an option of, you know, unless you want to play flag football.
Yeah, then it's not football. That's right.
Not football.
Coach, I'm sorry to limit our time here tonight. We're going to do this in a more open forum with you so that I can get more of your thoughts on a lot of stuff. But in terms of your team, Coach, you know, the kids are chomping at the bit. I know they are. All over, everywhere. What's your message, or what's the agenda for your team right now? How are you addressing the kids, or is there a plan at this point?
Yeah. Right now, well, actually, our school committee had approved starting July 13th. We were allowed to have conditioning practices, no football stuff. Actually, for any of the teams. And, you know, our kids, we had the kids working out at home doing, you know, like home workouts and competing with each other, you know, and they're not with each other. They're doing it by themselves in their basements or whatever. And then July 13th, we've been meeting, you know, three nights a week, just going over lunges and hopping and just working on getting stronger and more explosive and not football related, just to keep them together and, you know, to keep them involved. And the school committee gave us a policy of, you know, we had to have, you know, we had to have the mask on and we had the social distance and, you know, so, you know, we're trying to keep them involved and, you know, the kids are pretty down, you know, as to be expected, but, you know, I think that right now they're looking forward to, again, having some workouts, you know, with social distancing in the fall. And then come February 24th or whatever day it starts, you know, to hopefully be ready to have a season.
All right, Jim.
If we play seven games.
All right, I'm going to come see you in person at some point. I'll have the long stick.
Okay, Rick.
And I'll have the long stick and my mask on so I won't infect anybody. But we'll talk more in depth. And Coach, thanks for the... As always, thanks for your time.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Rick.
Talk to you later. Thank you, Jim.
Thanks, Jimmy.
That is Hamilton Wenham High School football coach Jim Pugh, one of the absolute deans of coaches in the area. And besides that, a nice man, which is interesting in a football coach. Well, no, all the coaches, they're nice. It's like you have to have all these different personalities. We'll take a break. Come right back with Gary Larrabee. It's going to be a short break, so hang in there.
Harrington Trophy has been rewarding the North Shore for over 30 years with quality custom awards, screen printing, embroidery, and more. We pride our family-owned business on our exceptional customer service and quality products for the right price. Custom t-shirts, sweatshirts, warm-up suits, hats, along with the area's top trophies, plaques, glass awards, we are the one-stop shop for end-of-the-year banquets or advertising your small business through apparel. Come see us at Harrington Trophy, Chestnut Street, Lynn, or harringtontrophy.com.
Enjoy the taste of summer all year round at Cherry Farm Creamery. Pick up an ice cream cake for that special occasion. Cherry Farm Creamery offers the best ice cream right off Route 128 on Conant Street in Danvers. Or visit them at cherryfarmcreamery.com.
We're going to join in this conversation between Tim and Gary. Gary Larrabee's with us. Tim Kearns is talking about yesterday's match. And, Gary, you opened it up with an exclamation point.
Yeah, I can't remember, Tim, the last time I saw a big money golf championship, maybe even a major, where we saw three transcontinental putts made in the last hour of the program, including, you know, on the 18th hole, and the last player on the field, and he makes a 35-footer to force an overtime by sudden death with Spaniard John Rahm, and then John Rahm, who had made like a 35-footer on, I believe, 15 or 16. Then he makes a 60-footer in the first hole of the playoff. When I was thinking, if Johnson can just two-putt on this first extra hole, he may win his second straight FedEx Cup playoff, because Rahm may very well three-putt from 60 feet.
Yeah, it was, you know, I turned the station, and when I came back, Rahm had already won it, and I'm like, okay. So obviously, you know, he sank a critical putt here. But it was classic. I mean, what drama, back and forth, and Rahm sneaking ahead, you know, and then Johnson just refusing to give in. And even some of the guys that were trailing him kept making putts and keep themselves at least in contention to the very end. And I think for sheer excitement, that has to be rated up as one of the best tournaments in terms of level of play that we've seen in quite a while.
No, obviously they had U.S. Open conditions. Only three or four players finished under par. Four under par got those two players into the playoff. You know, next week the scores might be a little bit better at the finals for just the top 30 players at East Lake down in Atlanta. But that'll still be a nice tune-up for the players when they move on in 2 weeks. I believe it's 2 weeks, if not three, for the U.S. Open in Wingfoot, where par will be golden, as you know, Tim.
Yeah, it's strange. 1 week we see, it's 30 under that wins it, and all of a sudden, you know, we're going to have a nail-biter, you know, coming in where, you know, guys are going to struggle to get below par and stay there. And it just shows, I guess, the dynamics of the course and the, you know, when you start raising the stakes, things get a little tighter.
Indeed. And I was looking forward to paying tribute to Dustin Johnson, that he could win in back-to-back weeks shooting 30 under or 4 under. But it didn't quite work out that way because of John Rahm's putting, making two long, long putts in the last, you know, four holes of regulation, then in the playoff. But great stuff. We've had nothing but great golf, really, except for last week's blowout by Johnson, you know, since they came back from the pandemic. And nothing will surprise me. We'll have more great drama next week at the, you know, the finals for $10 million, I think, to the winner, and a great lead into the U.S. Open after that.
Yeah, it's I guess maybe I was going to say fitting in, but certainly it's a dramatic end to a season in which we've seen so much chaos early on because of the virus and things having to have been shelved. But for golf to come back with these kind of dramatic wins, even Johnson's, you know, 30 below, you know, has you shaking. Your head is like, you know, what are these guys doing out there? And then it just keeps you coming back to watch more of it.
And the other best players in the world, don't forget that.
Yeah. You know, some other stuff happened over the weekend on the local level, Gary, and I caught them online and in the Salem News. Nick Macario, a 56, even just in a casual round, as you noted it. I mean, that's incredible.
It is, and of course, he's had a fantastic summer on the amateur circuit, and of course, he's going to get a good enough game to turn pro, but I believe he has a pretty good job. He's 28 years old, and he doesn't want to think about getting into the play-for-pay business. I think he's happy staying amateur, but he's had a great summer, and it continued, even though this was a casual round with three buddies, when they're playing like $20 or $15 Nassau or whatnot. I don't know exactly what the stakes were. I think in the end, Macario and his partner won $70 for the day, but the fact remains we never see a 56 show, whether it's in competition or in a casual run. But the fact that it was made a 56 fits 15 under par at Bradford up in the Merrimack Valley, and I think two eagles and I believe 11 or 12 birdies, no bogeys, but a very unique round, and that's a very difficult golf course. So it's a nice story, and but I emphasize it's a casual round. It is not competition. If it was in competition, that score would be big golf news around the world. But nonetheless, McCariel's had a great year. He defends his Massachusetts Mid-Amateur Championship in mid-September. He's had a great summer competition. And this is an interesting way to add a little exclamation mark to it. And congratulations to Mr. Macario.
Yeah, it certainly was. And along with, what is it, the Lyle? The other young kid who's had such a fabulous summer. Local golf has had its blazing stars for the summer with those two young guys, and the pros just keep trying to eclipse them.
Well, they do their thing, the amateurs do their thing, but most recently, last week, we had a couple of good local players, local club professionals who did well. Kirk Hannafeld, the director of instruction at Salem, won his third New England PGA teaching pro championship the other day. He and his another player, Matt Baran, shot 73. They had a two-hole playoff, and Kirk won that. So a nice little feather in his cap. And we also should congratulate Kernowitz, Frank Dully. You know, Hannafeld 64. Dully, I believe, is 53. And Dully finished second in the head golf professionals division of the same tournament. Just 18 holes, but all the head pros get together. They try to play their best game, and Dully shot 68 and finished one shot out of the lead. But nice going by two of our very fine club professionals, and they're continuing to have a pretty good season, both of them.
Great stuff. Unbelievable stuff. Gary, we're going to be off next week because of the holiday. I can't believe summer has gone by this quickly. It's amazing. But would you like to inform us as to what might be coming up in the paper in the Salem News this week?
Yeah, we're going to write about a Danvers boy who's really made good, Phil Leese. He's living the dream, and he admits it, and he knows he's doing it his way. He's a Danvers boy who grew up down the street from Ferncroft Country Club, and he's now marking his 15th year as the head golf professional and now he's the golf director at Ferncroft, which is a nice milestone for Phil. We're going to give him a little bit of a spotlight this week, and we're very happy for him.
Sounds great, man, and a great pick-me-up. Thank you, Gary. Have a great holiday weekend coming up. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
See you in 2 weeks, guys.
Thank you, Gary.
See you, Gary.
That is sports historian and golf writer Gary Larrabee. This is North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. A quick break, and then we'll be back with Mike Grenier. Talk a little bit of Celtics basketball here, and maybe there's some good news on the horizon with that. We'll be right back.
I'm Bob Gillis, president of KPN Savings Bank, serving the KPN community with stability and commitment for over 170 years. Since 1846, our customers have relied on our local bank service and big bank benefits. Stop by our offices or call to talk about your banking needs at 978-283-0246. Built on community, KPN Savings.Bank.
Member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender. equal housing lender.
Gloucester's Walter Wilkins Insurance Agency is teaming up with Columbia Insurance to deliver a full line of products, personal home and auto policies, as well as a full line of commercial coverage for business owners, including commercial property and commercial vehicle coverage. Wilkins partners with respected companies such as Plymouth Rock, Quincy Mutual, Commerce, and Safeco. For City of Gloucester employees, there are discounts on auto and home policies. Wilkins Insurance is located at 1X, now partnering with Columbia Insurance, serving the North Shore.
All right, I almost dropped Tim off the cliff again, Mike, and he's
don't
like,
want to do that.
He's like, you know, with what's his name, Yosemite Sam falling off the cliff. I do it all the time to him. Oh, and he's, you know, so I didn't. Yeah.
My head is bruised from all the times he's dropped me, Mike.
I know.
But you know what though, Tim? At least he pronounced Yosemite right. Unless Trump called it Yosemite.
Yosemite.
Okay. You know your national park. You know?
Well, thanks to Looney Tunes. All right, Mike Grenier's here. Mike is a longtime sports writer, primarily with the Salem News, but covering so many other things. And hold on, I got to watch out for this little static here and make sure I erase it. Hold on, boys, one second.
No problem.
Yeah, it's...
Rick is the master of technology, isn't he, Mike?
Yeah, that's for sure.
It's very good.
Okay. All right, so the good news is that Mike was talking last week about the matchup with Toronto. And, Mike, you mentioned the depth of Toronto and their scoring and everything else. I'm wondering, with the way the Celtics opened up yesterday, winning double digits against Toronto and keeping them at bay all night long with the double digits, sometimes teams – match up for some reason, and I'm reminded of the Bruins and Washington, how Washington always just matches up so well against the Bruins.
Yeah.
Could this be a case where, for some reason, the particular athletes of the Celtics match up well against Toronto? Because, obviously, Toronto does have more depth, but, boy, Boston looked good yesterday.
They sure did, and I think, you know, obviously if we count the regular season, right, Tim, the Celtics 4-1 against Toronto this year. And quite frankly, though, I thought yesterday's game surprised me. 112-94, the Celtics controlled it all the way. They were ahead by 18 and 19 in the first quarter. It kind of surprised me. But, Rick, you're on to a good point here about matchups. And you look at the center position, for example, yesterday, the Celtics just completely dominated. You know, Marc Gasol didn't do much for Toronto. And when you had Daniel Tice and Robert Williams, who really hasn't shown just flashes of what he can do during the course of the season and the postseason. Those two players, Tice and Robert Williams, combined for 23 points and 20 rebounds. I mean, Brad Stevens would take those numbers 7 days a week. If they can keep that kind of going, getting that kind of production from Tice and the backup, Robert Williams, wow, they're going to be in great shape. But again, we can't read too much into one game. I think Toronto... they certainly have Toronto thinking right now because they have beaten them 4 out of 5 overall, the Celtics have. And they played just absolutely great yesterday. I thought Tatum was terrific. You know, Kemba Walker was tremendous. We mentioned Robert Williams and Tice. And they dominated. I thought they played great defense yesterday, and I think that was underscored by the fact that Fred Van Fleet, who's a very good shooter, shot 3 for 16, and Pascal Siakam, who's an all-star player, was 5 for 16. So those two players combined, and they combine for a lot of offense, usually for Toronto, were 8 for 32. That's 25% shooting. And, you know, you give the opposing team a lot of credit for the defense when that happens.
And before I turn it over to Tim, I read one thing that said there were many, many times when Toronto had the one shot and done. You know, Celtics boxed them out.
Right, they did. They did a great job of virtually every aspect of the game. The only thing, actually, right, Tim, I saw that the Celtics did commit a season-high 23 turnovers, and they had a bunch of them in that fourth quarter, despite the big leads. You worry about turnovers because sometimes that can carry over that sloppiness into the next game. So we hope that – I'm sure that Brad Stevens addressed that with the team today. It's 5:40 p.m., and you know, I think that's a good thing. You know, you don't have to wait around for 3 or 4 days for the next game.
Yeah, I think the thing with the turnovers, Mike, is that's been a problem for the Celts over the last couple of years. They build up big leads, and then all of a sudden, you know, they forget that they're playing a game, and they just sort of lose their focus.
Yeah.
But one thing I wanted to say in the way they came out yesterday is right now they're playing with no fear.
But no, I agree.
They know they can go and get it done if they play their game. If they get in there and they attack the boards, if they get in there and make the passes, make the good passes. Don't have to make the extra pass, but make the good pass that gets to a guy, and the guy is open, they're taking the shot, they're doing a much better overall job of rebounding on both ends and giving themselves, you know, limiting the team to one chance, giving themselves a second chance at the baskets and the opportunity to score points or get to the foul line. And again, there's something about their mindset. When they get a big lead, they just seem to go into la-la land and
right.
Let the other team back in. They're better off playing with a 6-to-10-point lead. All the way through the game.
It's funny you should mention that, because another team I follow closely who run playing right now, as a matter of fact, the Milwaukee Bucks, they tend to blow big leads. The other day against Orlando, when they closed them out, they had a 20-point lead, and the lead went down to 3. And they eventually won the game and finished off the series and all that. But they play loose with the leads as well. It seems like the good teams, like the Milwaukees and the Bostons, and you lose, like you said, Tim, focus, you lose concentration. I don't know if that's human nature or what, but I know the coaches on the sidelines, it probably drives them crazy that they can't close out a game. If you're leading by 18, why can't you win by 18? You know, so you're right. It is something to concern yourself with, but I'd rather be up 18 and have that rather overcome a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. You know, 5 straight wins, obviously, in the playoffs because they wiped out Philadelphia in 4 straight. But this is a very nice – they're on a very nice roll right now, and that's why I like them playing every other day. Because when you're playing well, you get up in the morning and say, hey, okay, we're ready again, you know?
Mike, you mentioned Jason Tatum having a good game, but he had an offer in the first quarter. And
hey,
a couple of games ago, a couple of weeks ago, he had a terrible shooting night, but he still made huge plays in the fourth quarter. And he reminds me of one guy who used to wear 33 who could have an offer and still win the game for you. But doesn't that also speak to the fact with Gordon Hayward out that other guys you mentioned, Tice, that other guys are picking up the slack? They're really doing a good job.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've emphasized the fact that I think the Celtics bench is kind of weak. But yesterday they came through. Brad Wanamaker's been playing pretty well. I mean, if they can get Robert Williams to play the way he did in Game 1 against Toronto, they are going to be a tough customer to deal with, whether they play, you know, if they can get by this series, you know, whether they play Miami or Milwaukee next round. I mean, if Robert Williams is going to become a big factor like he was yesterday, it's a different kind of animal. They're an even better team. And you mentioned Tatum, Rick, and you're right. Sometimes he gets off to a slow start, but when I look at it right now, through 5 games, he's been their best. He's shooting 49% from the floor and 44% on threes, and that's very, very good in both categories. And you know the thing we overlook sometimes, guys, is how well he plays on defense.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of how, you know, some guys hang their heads when they're not playing well on offense, and it kind of shows on the defensive side. They don't put as much effort into it or because they're worried about their offense. Jason Tatum, to me, has impressed me at such a young age, the fact that he commits to defense, and he's playing that defense even when he's not scoring. And I thought the prime example of that was yesterday. Yeah, he had like 0 points in the first quarter, but he was playing really hard. He was a very effective defensive player. He's getting better all the time at that end of the floor. Tim, do you think do you think that's the case?
I think so. You know, we get these guys when they come in and they're young and they play well. And there's a level of expectation that we set on them. And then, you know, guys like Tatum and Brown, they play to this level. And it's like we're amazed. And is it like seeing Larry Bird all over again? Well, you know, he's not coming through the door anytime soon.
No,
but it seems like we've been lucky enough to suddenly have a couple of guys that have that ability to step up. And I think you've mentioned it the last couple of weeks, is the one good thing that management did is what they didn't do.
Right.
Is they didn't try to shop these guys. They kept them knowing These guys are the nucleus of what we're going to be in the future, and you build around those two.
That's right. And, boy, I tell you what, Kemba Walker, as we've noted before, has injected such a boost to them both on and off the court, and compared to Kyrie Irving, the player we shouldn't mention too much. Kemba has been so good. He endured so much losing in Charlotte, and he's just embracing attic after they got by Philadelphia in four games. And his knee is holding up. There's been no minutes restrictions. You know, he's playing, I think, averaging about 32 minutes per game, which is more than enough for a starting point guard. And he's scoring, he's defending, he's distributing the ball, and he meshes perfectly with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Tice. I just think he's kind of like he really fits in perfectly. He's the round peg in the round hole. You know, he's just playing great.
Well, I think...
I think the biggest thing is coming to Boston, again, where Kyrie Irving wanted to be the man,
yeah,
the star, take all the shots. I think he had that in Charlotte. He had to take
correct.
It on his shoulders. He doesn't have to carry this team. He just has to. He just has to be, in a way, a glue that holds it together. But it doesn't rely on him because he's got a nut and a bolt on either wing that are pulling this thing all together. He just has to direct traffic, so to speak.
Right.
He doesn't have to drive the car. He just has to direct traffic.
And you make a good point here, Tim, but the beauty of it with Kemba Walker is that if you need to carry a team, he can do it for those 5 or 6 minutes if, like, Jaylen Brown's on the bench or Tatum's on the bench. He can get you, like, 10 points in 5 minutes and carry them through a certain stretch of the game. He just doesn't have to do it for 30 minutes or 35 minutes. So,
Mike, he does
have Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
That's a great point. I didn't realize that. That is how huge that is, because he knows when to pull the trigger. And that is pretty I'm glad you pointed that out, because I didn't realize that. But, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
well,
the other veteran.
Too. Yeah. The other thing, too, is even if Brown and Tatum are on the court and, they're playing, they love to play wide, they love to, splash into the middle, take the ball outside, take the jump shot from outside, pull the defense out. Walker seems to almost inherently know when to take it to the hoop, drag that defense back into the middle, and again, it gives Brown and Tatum a bit more room in their outside, in their jump shot selection. They can get a little bit closer. Maybe the defense is turning their back and they're heading to the hoop to take the quick dump off. I'd like to see the stat, like, have the South had more layups this year and dunks? You know, with Walker running the show and the offense being able to spread out and really move, as opposed to the last couple of years when they had to deal with Kyrie.
Well, you know, that's a great point. I mean, I'm sure there's the analytics people in basketball would be able to tell us that, Tim. I guess we don't have the time to, or the spreadsheet. Kemba, it's a seamless transition. He meshes so well. Sometimes he's the leader. Sometimes he's the scorer. Sometimes he's the distributor. Sometimes he's even the defender and getting. He gets a lot of rebounds for a guy his size because he has good leaping ability. But I love his all-around game, and I love the fact that he's a Brad Stevens player. By that I mean he follows the game plan. He doesn't try to take over, although he's capable of doing it for, like I said, right, 4 or 5 minute stretches, whatever. So I just think he fits in perfectly with this team, and with him running the show, so to speak. Right now, they're playing so well. I don't want to jump ahead and say they're going to the conference final, but my goodness, they've certainly pointed in the right direction early in this series.
Final thought, Mike. You haven't mentioned Marcus Smart.
No, you know what? It's funny. Obviously, I think against Philadelphia, I believe he was 2 for 15 on three-pointers in that series. Yesterday, he goes haywire. He goes 5 for 9, I think it was, or whatever. Obviously, that's going to help his confidence. And you know what, Rick? They're going to need... not exactly 5 for 9, but they're going to need him certainly to be a 35% three-point shooter, because with Gordon Hayward out, and Marcus Smart starting, he does have to deliver some, even though he's a great defensive player, he has to deliver some points for them because you don't know what's coming in behind him off the bench. Ogilvy is not a scorer. Robert Williams might score a little bit. Grant Williams might score a little bit. Langford, we haven't seen enough of him to determine how good he can be in these pressure situations. So Marcus Smart has to contribute both ways. It's a tough job because he is a primary defender. He exerts himself so much on defense, but he still has to contribute on offense. Like 10 points a game, 11, 12 points a game.
He's also like a hand grenade rolling on the floor, and you don't know if the pin has been pulled or not. And yeah. I love it.
I love it. Yeah, he's antagonizing to an opposing player, but, you know, of course, all the Boston people love him.
Absolutely. Hey, Mike, we're off next week because of the holidays, but we'll keep our eye on this, and then we'll catch up 2 weeks from tonight.
Right. If I could tell you what, I know you guys talk a lot about the high school sports, and I feel so bad that the Northeastern Conference is not playing sports. I feel bad for the kids, the coaches, the parents, the fans who love to see these kids play. It's just, it's a tough thing, but it's like Tim says, it's still a dangerous situation. So it's probably the right move.
We've been doing this, all of us have been doing this for so long, and this is just such a shock to the system, and we love the kids. And, we just hope for the best. You're right, Mike.
Right. Well, listen, have a great holiday weekend, both of you.
Thank you, Mike. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye now.
Good night. That is Mike Grenier, who is a sports writer, a sports feature writer, sports writer, a longtime sports writer in the area, and just a joy to talk with. Coach, any final thoughts there?
Nope, I've had my say for the night. You know my position on, again, getting back and playing the sports. The word is pandemic.
I actually know your position on the presidential election, too, but we'll save that for another day.
Another week.
We'll have to make it our political show. It won't be a sports show. Tim, thank you so much, man. I can't wait for you to get back in studio with me, but meantime, stay safe.
All right, you too, my friend. We'll talk soon.
Very good. Thanks, Coach. Bye-bye.
Okay.
That is Tim Kearns, who is our sports analyst extraordinaire, our ambassador of goodwill as well, and very lucky to have him on board. Thank you all for tuning in. And again, let's wish the best for these kids and hope that this thing has some kind of a solution very soon. Thank you to all of my guests tonight. Appreciate it. Make sure you click on Jim Rudloff's interview. Fascinating interview with Coach Rudloff. A lot to say and cover some topics about this pandemic and about high school sports that I haven't seen anywhere else. So be sure to check it out. So on behalf of Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, and of course for Bill Newell, I'm Rick Moore. This is MSONewsSports.com.